Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We're going to come right back. I'm having a problem with something here. But we just thank God for all of you tuning in right now. We're having some difficulty with this program. So let me get situated, and we're going to come with some more music for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to get something straight because this link is freezing up and I can't operate like that. So we're going to get something going on and we'll be right back. Tuning in right now to the Angels of Melody broadcast today with your host, Angel of Melody. I'm Angel of Melody this evening. Sometimes I'm Angel on deck, and then there's Angels of Melody. And a lot of people really thought that Angel of Melody and Angel on deck was two different people, but it's not. It's the same person. Angel on Deck is my DJ name. Angel of Melody is the ministry name and my artist name as well. So we just thank you all for listening in right now from all over the world. We thank God for all of Africa listening in and all of the cities and states that may be listening in, those that's in Trinidad, Tobago, Barbados. We want to say God bless you to those in Hong Kong, those that's in Italy and the UK. I'm telling you, we just want to say God bless you today. We just thank God for all of you that are listening in right now from around the world. I'm telling you, today we have a broadcast. I thought I told our brother that we were doing this at 6:30, but I guess maybe I did say 7. So I want to say forgive me, my brother Otis. I'm sorry. I'm telling y'all, maybe it's too much honey, and or honey and in the tea or something. But we thank God. We on anyway, and I see him on right now. I want to give a couple of shout-outs right now to Mama Ely. We want to say God bless you. To Taylor Brown, to Tamika Brown, and Speedy, Kendall Powell, and family. We just want to say God bless to you, to Doc Freeze and family. God bless to Don Floss and the L.A. We want to say God bless. And I just thank God to Minister Kobe there in the U.K. God bless you. We have some people in Kenya listening in Nigeria and Ghana right now, and also in Uganda. We want to say God bless you on today to everybody. This is a very special program on tonight. A lot of you know that I'm not on Saturday nights at all, but I wanted to do a special program of a brother that I have met through another great brother, Kenneth Powell. I met him through him. And I'm telling you, I thank God for our brother Otis Davis because the testimony that he has, I'm telling you, it really encouraged me. And the reason why I say it encouraged me, because we really think that we going through something, but this brother went through. I'm telling you, he went through some things. But I thank God that he is an overcomer tonight. He is definitely an overcomer. And I just thank God, for his testimony that you are going to hear. I'm telling you, he's a strong brother. I've talked to him plenty of times since I've met him, and he is really a humble brother, a very humble brother, who I have come to know. He's a brother that's just flat out. You know what I'm saying? He ain't holding up. So you're not going to hear brother sugarcoat nothing. You know, he just coming raw. It is what it is. And I thank him that, you know, he's a respectful brother as well. And when you hear his testimony, I'm telling you, it's very encouraging. It's very powerful. And to all of you that may be listening in that likes to look down on people and like to point hands, point them back to yourself, because your life wasn't all that either. You know what I'm saying? That gets on my nerves when the people in the church, you know, even those that's not in the church, outside the church, whatever, you know, you got a lot of people that, you know, hear testimonies of people, and then they want to go back and start talking some stuff, you know what I'm saying, or trying to look down on a person or, you know, have some things to say. So I'm a bold female myself, and I'm saying tonight that if you listen in and you like a judgmental person, please turn it off. Seriously. Because we don't need that. You know what I'm saying? We don't want any messages that's negative, because you will be blocked flat out from the program. I know how to block you. Even if you type it, you will be blocked. So I'm just saying that now because this testimony is a very deep testimony. And so I'm saying this because I know you have people out there that want to, you know, be disrespectful and all that kind of stuff. And this is a ministry. We ain't for that. We are overcomers by our testimony. And so I've shared my testimony on these airwaves on how I was raised up in the church. And you know what I'm saying? My father's a preacher. I come from a family of apostles and bishops and pastors and all of that. You know, the only girl out the family with all brothers, you know, and I just went my own way and did my thing. You know what I'm saying? But God, You know, he changed my life. And I thank God for our brother Otis Davis. I'm about to click him on right now. I thank God for him. And he's going to come as the best he know how to share his testimony. We are receiving him right now to, you know, to tell as much as he wants to tell, or, you know, how, whatever he wants to say. We just thank God for his life. And I just want to say I'm excited about tonight. I really am. So right now I'm clicking him on, and I introduce to you all around the world our brother Otis Davis. God bless you, brother. How are you this evening?
How you doing, Sister Angel?
I am doing good. I'm so sorry, Otis, if I told you 7 o'clock. I didn't remember because I thought I said 6:30.
Yeah.
And Kenneth left me a message back saying he thought 7, and I'm thinking, like, did I? Maybe
yeah.
I did. But please forgive me. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
We just a little half an hour early. But I'm going to go ahead, brother, and let you reintroduce yourself, where you calling from. And, you know, we got a couple hour and 39 minutes, so you can go as you want. And when you're ready to break, tell me you're ready to break, because we got some good music we can play in between. I know you're not going to talk the whole thing through like that. So when you're ready, just say, Sister, we can go for it, and I'll play something and come on right back. So go as you please, brother. This is the platform for you tonight. So you go in and talk about what went on, you know, in your life and what's going on now.
Tell that story, I guess I have to go back to the very beginning on how it all started. And when I first, before I got off into all type of illegal and criminal stuff, it ranging from Chicago all the way here to Detroit, you know, I too was like you. You know, I grew up in a nice home, nice household, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And mother was a Christian. You know, and her mother before her and her father was Christian also. And with me growing up on the south side of Chicago, it was a lot very different because I came from a good household. But it's a different story when you got different certain elements that's within your ear in the streets and that type of lifestyle. So you don't want to know if you want to go right or you don't know if you want to go left, you know. But the streets for me was more allure and more attractive than being a Christian at first, being so young coming up, because I was baptized and I was all that, you know.
Yeah.
But it was something just about that lifestyle of gangism, you know, and being that when I came from Cleveland, Mississippi to Chicago, I already had a lot of relatives and uncles them and cousins and friends that was black gangster disciples back then, commonly known as GDs, non-growth and development, you know. And I grew up amongst them. I grew up amongst the pimps, the hookers, the prostitute, or whatever you want to call it down on 1300 and Rush Street, back and forth. And seeing my uncle Nim in that type of lifestyle and seeing the drugs, the marijuana, the cocaine, at the time was heroin was a popular thing back then, and before coke. And seeing the guys in the projects banging and with nice things on. Not to say I didn't have a nice thing, just seeing the overall allure of attraction. And I decided, like, when my time comes to be reintroduced into a gang, how I go about playing it. You know, why leave Christianity alone, or why just go all the way left and do what it is that I'm going to do, because you can't serve two gods, you know. And so I decided to serve one, and that was getting off into illegal activities, you know. And
yeah.
As I became a gang member, mind you, I was struggling back and forth, still trying to figure out, man, is it wrong to gang bang? Is it wrong to steal? Is it wrong to sell drugs? Is it wrong to go down on the whole straw and watch the prostitutes and get a cut for protecting them for our services, you know, and was it wrong? And when I saw the money coming in, then I said, okay, it all makes sense to me now. Then I'm going to leave Christianity alone because this is what I want to do. But it wasn't until then when my mother passed away and my little sister passed away. I lost both of them in house fire back in the end of 85. And I said to myself, man, I can go full throttle because it wasn't no longer a point of me trying to hide what I was. I mean, she already knew what I was, but I wasn't out in the open and with her. Everything I did was in the street. I ain't never brought it home, you know. And when she passed form, then I decided to do my own thing. I went full throttle. And one of the things, when I went full throttle, that was one of the reasons that landed me up here in Michigan, in Detroit, you know. And when she passed, I started getting more and more so wrapped up in my daily activity of gainism. You know, so I'm just going to say the point gainism because I really don't want to say what all that I did because a lot of stuff that I did could be still hold against me in a court of law.
Okay.
And I just went full throttle in my gang illegal activities, whether it was beefing with other rival gangs or whether it was moving in on drug territory, moving them out, or so forth, or whether it was squeezing a local Arab on the corner store for having a store in the black community, you know. So we did a variety of things to make money back then. And when I came, when I started doing what I did, it started landing me more and more. So I started seeing myself going in and out. Because you got to remember, when my mom passed, I was still a juvenile. I started seeing myself in and out of the Audi home, which y'all would call the juvenile youth home.
Yeah.
It was a second home to me. It was a constant revolving door, in and out. And it wasn't until I became of age within that lifestyle back then, with 17 years old, was the mark. If you got caught up, you can get incarcerated where the big boys play. And I had a choice. And even then, I didn't take heed to the choices that I had. I had another chance in life. And they asked me when I got locked up. When I was 16, I was turning 17 within 2 days of my 17th birthday. And they asked me, do I have anybody to come get me? Because they didn't want me and my little brother back in Chicago because of what we were doing. And I told them, yeah, I got someone to come get me. And I called my grandmother, Mrs. Blake, and my father, Otis Sr. They brought us to Detroit. And upon our arrival to Detroit, just like any gang member true to form, we didn't get off into the Detroit lifestyle right away. We just sat back mostly for months observing peoples and how they react and how they do things here in Michigan. And then it was decided right then, okay, it's no different than Chicago. But it only was one concept wrong with the Detroit picture, though. They was a whole lot flashier than the ones in Chicago. So Detroit came our new playground when it came to sticking up peoples, and that was our new thing. Instead of selling drugs, we can get it more quicker and establish ourselves more quicker just by having a little crew of stick-ups, you know. And that's how I got started here in Michigan. And I started doing all type of legal activities, from stick-ups, selling drugs. But my main source of income was as getting it the ski mask way, the stick-up kid way.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided to go that route, I used to hear all the time my grandmother tell me, you know what I'm saying, look at all the things you do. You might not get caught right now for what you're doing, but sooner or later what you're doing is going to catch up for you. And when I got incarcerated near the 23 and a half years, when I got incarcerated when I was young, I looked at it as a picture or a testimony of all the things that I done did wrong in my life, as far as selling drugs, picking up and hurting people. You know, I'm no angel by a long shot. By the time I was 15, I already had been in and out of the legal system by gang banging. From whether it was tempted to commit murder, selling drugs, or hitting the freights, or squeezing the coming down on immigrants in Chicago and so forth and different other things. And I always said to myself, all the things I done did in life and got away with, it's just like this one episode is causing me for all the other wrongs that I done did in my life. And the night, of course, when I got caught up, it was almost an 89 summer.
Okay.
And it cost, when I first got incarcerated, I went in, I got charged with drug possession, weapon possession, attempt to commit murder, and murders. Out of all that I got caught up with, and extortion, and all that I got caught up with, they hung three of them on me.
Okay.
Right now, it's not supposed to be out. Right now, I'm really supposed to be still incarcerated doing time.
Yeah.
Because the judge said if it was left up to him, I'd never see the end of the light ever again.
My Lord.
And it was through prayer of me changing my fate at the last moment. It's the reason that I believe that I'm out. But like I said, let's go back to the beginning. I'm no angel by a long shot. When I first got incarcerated in 89, I still wasn't no Christian. I still haven't learned my lesson. When I came down to prison through that bubble with Jackson prison, when Jackson was Jackson Prison at the time, and MR, Michigan Reformatory Gladiator School, was Gladiator School at the time, you still had a lot of things that was going on, far as rape, extortion, murder, and just outright extorting correction officers. You still had a lot of things going on that was going on in prison. So, one, as a youngster, when you go through them revolving doors, one would think that your concept of life, of changing your whole attitude or your mentality in order to follow God and get your mind and yourself right, your whole aura right, just to see what you can do to just try to get out or just serve God, did not differentiate from me. It took me into a whole new direction. Because with that same criminal mind that I left the streets with, it spilled over into everyday life in prison in the penal system with me. I joined a black Muslim group in prison. A black revolutionary Muslim group in prison. I'm not going to say no names because they still exist to this day. Not only in prison, but they exist out here, mainly in Detroit.
Okay.
And I joined that organization. I'm just going to leave it up to this, a crescently star, red, black, and green, with six-pointed star in the middle.
Okay.
And I got off into all type of stuff in prison. And what I mean by what I got off into all type of stuff, my set was so addicted to the way of life of just doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came in, that was the first group that I got with, and I also got off into selling drugs in prison and extortion in prison, and I also got off into with a lot of other guys that was behind me into prostitution, man's in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I looked upon the male species in prison as a wolf would do a bone in the wilderness, as though it was his last supper.
Mm.
When you look at the lifestyle of how prostitution is ran in the streets, there's no different in prison on how you make your bread and butter. Because you manipulate the system into what you want that day to be. And it's very easy to do so. The administration back then would like to think that they had control of the penal system, but it was certain groups in prison throughout the penal system of Michigan really had the penal system at a standstill. It wasn't until laws that changed within the last 8 years, 9 years, that they took it back. But the penal system was just like the streets. You can get whatever your heart or your pleasure was desire, whether it was a woman you wanted, whether it was marijuana, heroin, cocaine, pills, alcohol, whatever you wanted. It wasn't hard to do. I got caught up in so much drama in prison that when I said early that really I ain't supposed to be out. It's just I learned at an early age on how to manipulate the system. And I was very good in manipulating the system to their laws. And up in there, as a Muslim, most Muslims in prison is not Muslims. That's why the administration, which is the penal system, look down on most Muslim organizations in prison as being a gang.
Okay.
Most brothers in there that practice Islam, it's true brothers that practice Islam, but they cannot help who they let within a circle, though, that twist the laws or whatever necessary might be in order to conform to what they want to do what they want. Me, myself, and I'm an opportunist. I saw that I could manipulate and twist it and mold it and conform it. Certain brothers into the way that I wanted them to think or what I wanted them to do in prison. If I said, there go two white boys that just came in prison, just came down through the bubble, that's a fish, then let's go get them, let's squeeze them, or let's go get them, let's send them over here to this homosexual that's 40 years in, and let him turn them out so we can put them on the yard to make money for us. You see, so it's a small social community within prison that just ran like the streets. If I needed something from the commissary, I didn't have to buy nothing from the commissary. Why buy it when I can make one of them fishes go get a job in the commissary and break me off every week bags and bags of stuff that add up eventually $500 or $600 a week from the prison container? If I needed something from the kitchen, on hamburger day, french fries or pizza day, or whatever day, chicken day, whatever day it was.
Yeah.
Why get a job working in the kitchen when I can have one of them fishes that's 17 or 18 that's not coming in, get a job in the kitchen? And every time I come around in the kitchen to come get my meal, to bring me something back from the kitchen to eat that's cooked like the world food.
Wow. Okay.
You feel what I'm saying? If I need it, some drugs or whatever, why go through the process of having a relative bring it up on a visit when you got a when you got over 70 or 200 guys within your so-called moves and crew could ride down on a green tag, which is an officer who's just not starting to work the penal system, and make them go get it. It's not hard to get green money in prison. And drugs is more rapid in prison than a little bit now, because the way they cut all the officers out and cut their paychecks and stuff like that, so it's more easy than ever to get it now.
Yeah.
Just when I left a correction officer got caught up bringing a pound of bud in and a pound of tobacco in.
Yeah.
You know? So tobacco is the new form of drug and the new choice in prison now of addiction. And it costs more than marijuana. You know? Yeah. So it's very easy to get caught up in the way. It's very easy. And like I said early on, when I first came down, my mind was so warped, and I haven't changed. I haven't changed at all. I had just got more worse and worse and worse within it. When you in prison and you are back then in the early years, for me, when I was incarcerated in the 90s, every black Muslim organization throughout prison, like once again, I ain't going to say no name, it was about five different black Muslim organizations, and every one of them had a pecking order.
Yeah.
And you tends to do things that you never thought you would do.
Yeah.
And when I say that cold heartedly, you do things you never thought you would do. When I say, when they say jump, you jump. What no back talking, what no, I ain't no do this, I ain't no do that. Either you did it or you got dealt with.
Yeah.
If you was in there and you was walking the yard and one of your brothers get into it and you was in the vicinity of that when it went down, first thing your brother's going to ask you is where you were. And you can't say, I was over there watching it all go down, or you're going to get dealt with. And a lot of people that's listening now in on the program, when I say you're going to get dealt with, you probably know what I mean by when I say you're going to get dealt with. You know, it ain't no beat down, and it ain't no I'm going to stab you in your neck or your chest. You're going to get dealt with.
Yeah.
It's going to be where they ship you out and you got six carrying you. You're going to get dealt with.
Yeah.
And that's how it was in the late 80s and early 90s and the mid-90s in the penal system in Jackson. And you still got some places here in Michigan to this day that's like that, institutions that's like that. And they call level fives and level six, and they do not play. And like I said, I found myself doing a lot of things that I regret, and a whole lot of faces that I still see, and a lot of people that I still think of that I don't wrong out in the free world as well as in the penal system of the world in the joint. And my mentality is still a slow process of me changing, because mind you, when I came in the system, I was a gang member.
Yeah.
But when I came in, you didn't have gang members in the penal system like it is today. So when I came in, I had to reapply myself and I had to adapt in order to survive. So when I came in, I had to put what I truly were on the back burner to get with the program of the Brotherhood here in Michigan. Do that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So I had to adapt. Just like a polar bear is taken out of the snowy wilderness, that's not no snow, and you put him up in the mountains where it's springtime or summertime, and he's going to adapt in order to survive, and it's a proven fact that most polar bears leave the snowy wilderness and go to certain mountains. And they co-start to change certain colors because they adapt because food is scarce. Same way here. When you come in the system, food is scarce. So you have to adapt in order to survive. And what I mean by food is scarce, meaning any old criminal activity would do that's going to put money in your pocket and money on your account and money on your books. Yeah. In order to survive, in order to get the things you need, because prison currency is everything in prison. It's everything. It's just like money out here in the free world. Yeah. It was time that I done had $1,500 on my books. It was time that I done had $6,000 on my books. And I done learned how to manipulate the system in order to get it where they can't take it. It was a time that they charged me rent just to be incarcerated in prison because I had so much money on my books.
Yeah.
You know, and you got brothers that's like that in prison that they do charge you rent when you got a certain amount on your books. They charge you. Just like they charge us restitution when we commit a crime and go into prison. They found ways to charge us in there. Just like y'all got computers out here, and you can pick up a phone and use it when you want. We pay for our own phone calls. We pay for our own computer system thing in there, and we pay for our own medical bill, which is called medical copay.
Okay.
And every time we go see a doctor or a nurse, we have to pay a fee out of our account. It's not free no more. You see, so everything they do in the penal system, they make money off us. But that's neither here or there. When I went in, I did everything under the sun not to get better.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until 97 that you start seeing gangism start being more popularized in prison, in the penal system. It's just like Michigan that went from being shook up.
Okay.
And it just exploded overnight. Wasn't no gangs back then. So once again, I saw a market.
Yeah.
And this new market was called gangism.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, the black Muslims' power that they had in prison was blemishing.
Yeah.
It was fading out. The new power that was coming in the penal system was gang members.
Okay.
From the gangster disciples.
Mm-hmm.
From the black disciples, from the black gangster disciples, from Folks Nation, from the Latin Counts, to the Cobras out of Southwest, to the Latin Kings out of Southwest on Dale Ray, to the Crips and the Bloods in these little small cities like Flint and Saginaw.
Yeah.
And to the IGs, the Insane Gangsters, and to the MLDs, the Maniac Latin Disciples.
Mm-hmm.
All these cats out of these small towns throughout Michigan start to get locked up. So when we left the street when they was babies, you have to remember, how do gangism start here in Michigan?
Yeah.
It's not a thing you say, man, exploded overnight. Sit back and do your homework mathematically. Gangism always been a part of Michigan.
Yeah.
It faded out. But in the 80s, before I really got locked up, we had back then what you call spreading the word, spreading the gospel.
Yeah.
When I was on the streets before I got locked up, we was coming to these little cities from Chicago. We was spreading the word. We were spreading the gospel on what our doctrine taught us, ideology-wise. We paid visits to little cities like Flint, little cities like Saginaw. We paid visits to little towns like Muskegon, Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids. We paid little tributes to little cities like Detroit. Southwest. We never dared to touch Detroit back in the 80s, far as the east side and the west side and the north end, the east end go.
Yeah.
But Southwest Detroit always been a hot magnet since gangism first started here in Michigan. And it was one of the ideal places to spread the gospel, the word of our doctrine. And along with us came other gangs such as the Latin Kings, such as the Vice Lords, such as the Crips and Bloods out of L.A. Because everything is did not only on the Lordy tip, but when crack hit the scene, everything changed from loyalty to money. So it was nothing for you to pick up and go out of state to create and conform a gang, a town, young youth into gang members. It wasn't nothing. So when a lot of the older brothers got incarcerated like me and myself, who is there to fill the void? You got them ones there to fill the void that saw us into that type of, them type of activity and revered and idolized to us and what we were doing. They were 7 years old, 8 years old, you know, and it was them young babies that you see incarcerated to this day just getting locked up doing all day in the penal system that's gang members.
Yeah.
So it's always a void to do criminal activity. So going back to the moral of the story, what I said, that the black Muslim power was diminishing. And a new form of power was coming into the penal system that was called gangism. And throughout that, I said, okay, I can take what I truly am and go back to doing what I were. Because now that this new generation that's coming into the penal system is at abundance now. And there's no taking no mess because they was, a lot of them that was coming in, they was standing up to a lot of the black Muslim organization.
Yeah.
So I saw right then, okay, a lot of us can be a force to be reckoned with if we do it like we supposed to our doctrine. So a lot of them brothers that was coming down that was gangster disciples that didn't know no lick. And what I mean by lick is didn't know no literature.
Okay.
So they had the mentality, the muscle, to do what they will in the physical form, but what if you can teach them on the 360 or 720 level of growth and development to utilize their mind with that strength? Would that not make them more strong than what they is in the penal system if they doing all day? Yes, it will.
Yeah.
And I utilize on teaching them on what it was they need to know as far as they lit went.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, you have groups like the Gangsta Disciples. It's highly organized in prison here in Michigan.
Okay.
You have groups like the Vice Lords. It's highly organized here in the penal system here in Michigan.
Yeah.
You had groups like the Latin Kings, the Latin Counts, the Cobras, that's highly organized in the penal system here in Michigan. You had groups like the Bloods out of Flint, the Crips out of Flint, that's highly organized here in Michigan. Everything is did on a need-to-know basis. Never expose your hand or your higher anarchy that's within the penal system. And that's why we create drones, which is fall guys, that's doing all day. When I got back into that lifestyle, it seemed like I started sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into what I were. And I started loving what I were. And Rain, I said I started loving what I were because it reminded me of an old time of me growing up on the south side of Chicago in the Icky Projects, running them State Street back and forth down State Street in them different projects from the Hilly home to the Icky to the Dearborn to the Stateway to the Rockefeller to going southwest on Pretty Green to the Henry Hornets. You know what I'm saying? And to the Wentworth Gardens over there on 35th and Wentworth, to Princeton. You know what I'm saying? It brought back time and it brought back a memory of the late 70s coming off into the 80s, a time when we was at our most highest peak and at our dominance. And to revel in that, I know it sounds a little bit crazy and silly, to revel in something like that is to, man, I wish all those that I knew wasn't dead or locked up. You know what I'm saying? I miss this person. I miss that person. And I enjoyed what I did. And I love what I did. You know? But the time came when I lost my old man, my father, Otis Senior, back in 08.
Okay.
When I was incarcerated, I didn't think nothing about out here what was going on out here because I didn't have time enough to think about what was going on out here in the free world. Because we often thought where if I keep my mind on what's going on out here, how in the hell I'm going to be able to survive on what's going on in there. You know, there could be no extractions into what we do. I got stabbed twice in there. You know, where it cost me the damn that lose my life.
Wow.
So the reality of violence and killing is very high. When you constantly beefing with different organizations within the penal system, there's no room for error. There's no room for slips. So far as me knowing what's going on out here, I didn't want to know what's going on out here because I had enough problems in there on trying to stay alive on what was going on in different houses, different sets.
Yeah.
You know? So when time we hit the yard or time we go to the movie theater or the gym, you know what I'm saying? It's just like the streets. You have to be strapped and you have to have security with you, you know, and that's how it works. Most guys knew what their demise was and they knew it was coming. when it was gonna come, they didn't know, but they knew it was coming. In prison, it's the process. It's all about the end game. It's all about the waiting game. Who's gonna strike first? How can I strike this person without the video camera catching me on camera? Because I don't want to do it. And some don't give a damn if you catch them on camera or not, because the ones that don't care if you catch them on camera are already doing 3 or 4 life bits. So another life bit is not going to hurt them 1 bit.
Yeah.
So the ones that was doing 20 to 40, after I got my time broken down to what it was, I had a 20 to 40, 20 to 40, and a 5 to 10 for the gun. After I got it broke down and got on the running concurrent, putting me out the door, I still didn't learn my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
When I came home last year, I was like 5 years past my date.
Okay.
I was 5 years past my date. I supposed to came home in 07. Which put me at an 18-year bid doing the 20 off a 20-year concurrent, put me at 18. I end up doing 5 extra years because of my illegal activities and my gang activities. But it wasn't until my father died, passed away, when in 08. I was at St. Louis, Mid-Michigan St. Louis. We had opened that back in 99. And I had talked to my sister on the phone. And she said, "Don't you think it's time for you to come home?" I said, "Come home?" My whole attitude was, "Come home for what?"
Yeah.
Come home for what? I said, what the hell I'm going to come home to when I love what I'm doing to people's in here? Yeah, it got to the point where I love doing what I was doing. It just got to that point. And when she said, broke the news that my father passed, and she was like, "Look," she said, "your nephews already grew up without an uncle. They grew up without a father. On a manly figure to teach them on how to be a man." She said, "But it's no longer have to be that way because you have a great nephew out here and you had 3 great nieces out here that need you." And you feel what I'm saying? And they need that male figure within their life. And a lot of things start touching up on me about me myself can't have no kids. A lot of things start touching up on me.
Yeah.
And all old wounds start to be reopened. Because I've been so hurt throughout my life.
Yeah.
I really didn't want no part of the free world, period. I loved being incarcerated and doing what I was doing, inflicting pain and so forth on people. I love barking orders and giving orders to get people's hurt. I loved it that. I loved it at cold heart. But when would a lion stop being a lion and become a cub once more again?
Yeah.
When would he become a cub and grow into what he's supposed to truly, rightfully be? You know? You cannot sit back and mind bother all your life and constantly do things and not thinking it's going to catch up with you, because it is going to catch up with you. Those that glorify prison and think it's a place just to stop overnight and say, "Oh, well, I'm going to be out." No, it ain't. When you're incarcerated, one thing guys don't tell, and this goes out to the audience, one thing guys don't tell y'all when they're incarcerated, and trust and believe, I did 23 and a half years of my life in there. Trust and believe when I tell you. I heard guys there at night not screaming, but moaning, whether it was a relative name or a girlfriend name, saying they wish they were home. I see guys on the yard every day or in the chow hall or in the shower or in the gym or in the weight room telling their story on how they miss their loved ones. I see guys every day in prison that actually cry when they off to theyself because their birthday done passed and it was a significant other that meant so much to them in the street that they never would get an opportunity to see again.
Yeah.
Prison is a realization of depression. It's no joke and it's no game.
Yeah.
If you think you can go in there and survive 23 years without doing the things that I did in order to survive, it's not going to happen. And for the younger generation to think that that down chick that you got on the side is going to be with you your whole bit of your duration, it's not going to happen. I give her 2 years at the most, maybe three, and she going to be vamoose. Most of your own relatives ain't no deal with you when you're incarcerated.
My Lord.
You think that you got it hard now, go to prison and find out just how hard you got. I wish that every single night that it ain't a night that went by without me thinking about my relative. Not a night. But to show that type of display when ones look upon you as being a leader, you can't show that type of behavior because it's considered to be frowned upon and down upon as being weak.
Yeah.
You have to be able to handle the generation that's now that's in there. And I mean, you have to be really able to handle them. Because most of them that's under you is going to try you, whether it's outside the game or whether it's inside your own house. I used to tell brothers all the time, we used to have meetings. You violate that code of arm or that 360 under the three G's of being a gorilla and being a gangster and being a giant. You violate them three G's. I used to tell brothers, I got some get right for your ass. And getting right means before the day was out, you was gonna get you some get right, and once again, I can't say it the way I want, but a lot of them know what get right mean. You have some brothers that try you in prison on which we call SGDs, we call it putting them in a six, putting them in a circle, but. It's a circle, but we call it being put them in a six, you know. And we would pick, we would do it the old school way under the 360 concept, under the 360 decree, and we would pick six of the best out, and we would tell a brother, you have 6 minutes, ain't no 6 seconds, ain't no 60 seconds. You have 6 minutes because everything is did according to that 6-point start of Star David. And if you can survive that 6 minutes within that 6-point star circle, then you free to do what you want outside our household, meaning you won't be frowned upon, you won't be looked upon, you just can go in peace. But if you can't survive that 6 minutes within that circle, then your butt belong to this household. Your butt belong to that Star David and the ones that's under that Star David that's running the prophet in the court. Meaning, throughout your duration of your bit, your prison stint, meaning your loyalty and your heart belongs to us.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning your love belongs to us. Because when you in there, ain't no God in your world. We
mm-hmm.
is your world. And that's how it works.
3, 8, 9, 7, 5 You know what? I'm not not to cut you off. We're gonna have to break for a minute.
Yeah.
Right back, all right?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, you all. We're gonna break for a minute, get some music going, and then we're gonna go right back. And I'm going to be, you know, asking questions and different things. And if you have questions or whatever, you listening in right now in the countries or whatever, leave your messages, and I will make sure that he gets it. And then, like I said, we're going to go to a couple of songs, and we're going to be right back.
Supreme Production. Walking, speaking, don't you know that Jesus is the only thing I'm fiending for? I gotta get more. I wish they carried him as an item in the store so I can go freely and go and get my fix. Junkie for my Jesus, cause the spirit will addict. Giving me that knack for that scratch, I gotta itch. And once I hear his words, then that's when I make that shift. That's an easy transition. Pray for patience and listen. Read his word and observe through these verbs and paint his vision. 3 days nailed onto that cross, but look, my Savior's risen. Angels rolled the stone away to break up out that prison. Now I'm just living off everything he says and never bread. Quoting scriptures out the greatest book that anyone has read. Getting so high from the food that he is fed. My faith is heavy, but faith without works, it will be dead. Cause to my chest, yes, I am alive, cause Jesus is the best. Never knew nothing better, you can put him to the test. He gonna have you so high, alleviating stress. Yes, I'm blessed, highly favored. I just took a hit, Jesus flavor. Marked down on the price, no cost, waiver. What he did on that cross, no one braver. Now ask yourself a question, am I really living? If you ain't got Jesus, I prefer that you didn't. Somebody call the hospital so I can be admitted. Overdose on Jesus, now I'm just a victim. Yes, he is my drug of choice, inducing any system. You can get high as you want without none of your income. No peer pressure, no time to be fearsome. As long as you with him, you gon' have these chronic symptoms. Telling them why, cause you live in outer space, out of range of the sky. You give me such a spark, so when I ignite, I just start speaking a word with so much fire. I can't deny, if I didn't have you, wouldn't be alive. The way you make me feel, and the fact you get me high, go so and strive. The calmest, the realest, your spirit, I feel it. Ain't no other feeling that can come closer near it. Carry Underwood, Jesus, take the willing spirit. On the straight and narrow, and I know you're watching me, cause your eye is on the sparrow. I feel your presence in my bones, deep up in my marrow. If you ain't got him yet, then it's time to say hello. He'll have you on a high that's ever so mellow. And no, I'm not whiz, but yes, I'm on my level. So when he come back, eternal life is my medal, cause
right hand of God. But again, I'm not me. I beg you for that mission.
I will be
Let me tell him, sir. Me ask no one quite, me not make it any love. I will tie a man in my make me a beast. That's right. But I cannot much resist the beast. You never touch me cause I chosen rest. Me near misery written from the big heaven is. In a decade, don't me a must another list. Run to the post and find the some rest. Jesus Christ, the number one piece. No, we can never stop it. Bring that pain on, till you get a blessing from God. Hey, keep the up in the anointing. Please stop it, if you ever dream it. No, we can never stop it. Bring that pain on, till you get a blessing from God. No matter what you're going through, I'm ready to fight for you. God is what is true. God is what is true. No matter what you're going through, I'm ready to fight for you.
You are the reason why I'm singing, why my heart beats. entertainment up in your face, baby. Crunking it up for Christ. You ain't heard nothing yet. Yeah, let's get it. Lift his name up, don't you feel shame, bro? We got him running things all the way, that's all we brought. Christ in the game, baby, I'm an overcomer. We feel like we're kings to represent it with no drama. DJ, give me my sound, king of glory is around. The devil is going down, trampling in my bounds. We're not lukewarm, not even kerno. I got a Bible in my backpack, let's go. We here to give him glory, we ain't telling stories. You saved us, man, living with no worries. We bringing all the dollars like we blessed petrol dollars. All the way through the street, yeah, we Christ ballers. Sanctified rhymes, I'm in Christ entertainment. We bang for the Lord, he be the only entertainment. That's the name, though. We never gonna stop, you know.
Lift put some hands up, lift his name up. Come on, let me see you lift some hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up, lift his name up. Come on, let me see you lift some hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up, lift his name up. Come on, let me see you lift some hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up. Lift his name up, come on, let's see you lift
them
hands
for
some
Savior. Yo, man, hold up, stop, why you still smoking? Don't you know that Christ be the rock to the club you're going? Why you going back and forth, trying to play with God? He the only one that gave you all the money that you got. Lift your hands if you know that Christ pay the bill. You ain't gotta go do crack and get money from drug deals. Just come to church, homie, get down with his will. He will never let you down like the word will. Forget the fact that you got a past full of bad meals. We got a God that will put ice in your grill. All you gotta do is open up your heart to him. He will give you peace, riches with a big rings. Oh, them Christ soldiers, don't you ever hold back. He get your praise on, when the Christ be the rock. Trouble keeps coming, but this is how we roll. The Great Commission preaching the gospel, that is my role.
Lift put some hands up, lift his name up. Come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up, lift his name up. Come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up, lift his name up. Come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up. Lift his name up, come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior.
We jump with a brother, yeah. The devil will raise up when the broke will praise us, yeah. Him I give with the authority to stomp on the cross to a Satan. Honorate the death, he's a broke us, we are left the head more down when the fire come up our tongue. Them not let us go run out so them can't step along. So make up run away with me and come out of the gang. Cause the son of the most high, yeah, we'll go come like a banger.
Lift with some hands up. Lift his name up, come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up. Lift his name up, come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up. Lift his name up, come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up. Lift his name up, come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up. Lift his name up, come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up. Lift his name up, come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up. Lift his name up, come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior. Lift put some hands up. Lift his name up, come on, let me see you lift them hands for some Savior.
All right, we are back. We are back. And I'm telling you, we just thank God for this show. I'm telling you, it's just a very powerful life, you know, this testimony of what our brother Otis Davis been through, you know, in his life. And I want to just make mention to those that are listening in right now, I'm quite sure you have heard profanity because I've had a few people just post up and had some comments about that. You know, that's been apologized already for that. You know, sometimes you know, when you getting started in your walk in Christ, sometimes words, you know, things do happen. I know I've done it, you know, in my walk. So I just want to apologize because I know a lot of y'all do not, y'all know that I don't allow profanity to be on the air. I don't allow that. Sometimes I do ask a lot of questions, which questions is about to happen in a moment. But most of the time with testimonies like from the gangs in the streets, I've had many people call in and just talk about it. And the reason why I run it like that at first, because to kind of get the story out there on what went on, what happened, so you can see in many, many areas. I don't know nothing about prison. I have family members that's there. My oldest daughter's father has life in prison. That's what they gave him. He's been in there since 1991, and he's still in there, still trying to come out because of accessory, you know, to a murder. So, like I said, I know y'all never have heard languages like that. So I just want to apologize, you know, for what you have heard. But like I said, we are doing the interview. He came as real as he knew, you know, on here, and he did apologize for that. I'm going to click him back on, but he sends his apologies as well, and I'm quite sure he'll say it again when we click him on, of the language that you have heard. So we're going to click them on, and like I said, if you have any questions, you can post up questions or whatever, and we can ask, because I know we have like 30 minutes left onto this program, and we want to hear what God is doing, what has happened after the prison. So we're going to click them back on. All right, Otis, we're back on now. I clicked your mic back on. You still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, I had to put my speaker on. Okay, so we heard the life before what happened in the streets and the gangs and different things like that, and then we heard what went down in the prison. Now, what I want to ask now, since you got out, you said you did, how many years it was? It was 20, how many years was that?
23 and a half.
Okay, 23 and a half. Okay, I heard you say earlier that it definitely, you know, you felt that it was prayers that brought you out, because the judge said that you wouldn't even see the light again. One thing I would like to state is I know for a known fact that it was God that brought you out, because I know brothers right now, seriously, that has been caught up in accessory and other stuff, and they still in there. And I mean, I'm some of them not coming out. I know some that have a life without parole. You know, they went up and still got denied. I know a brother now that has done over 30-some years. I mean, it's something.
It's most definitely prayers. Because the last, like I said, last two years, when I decided to just leave the whole black Muslim gangism stuff alone, because you have a lot of bonds that's being forged in prison right now between Muslim organization and gang organization. And when I decided to step back away from that 2 years ago, I just said enough is enough. Yeah. It's time to come home. And the first time, a couple times I went and saw to the board, I had got flopped back to back, you know, just because of my behavior. In prison, they got groups like what they call STG, which is Security Threat Group. It took me 5 years to come from under that group off in the max institution. And once you is deemed and labeled under STG, Security Threat Group, you almost can hang it up when you go in front of the board that you ain't coming home. You know, so it took me 5 years to come from under that. And even after that 5 years in the court of law, going back and forth to court on it, they still, when I was going in front of the board, they still was holding a lot of things against me. you know,
okay.
things that I didn't did earlier on. They was bringing stuff up from the past that happened 10 years ago on different little stabs and assaults on correction officers. And it took some peoples that my sister know out here
okay.
that I had got letters from different reverends, different preachers, and different bishops, and different police officers out here that know certain family members of mine. They gave me letters, a recommendation on their letterhead and on their department letterhead to the board, you know. And when they saw that, they couldn't believe an individual with my type of behavior acting up while incarcerated. They asked me all type of questions, well, where do you know these people's from? You know, and never realized I knew them people all my life.
Yeah.
You know, and when I decided to start leaving individuals alone,
yeah,
the same walk of shame that I've inflicted on others to step off in a circle, to go in peace from their brain, which is their game, it's the
okay.
same punishment that I had to go through in order to go in peace.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a pumpkin head too, you know.
Okay.
And but I would take a pumpkin head 1,000 times over again just to leave a situation like that.
Yeah.
It was this brother that was incarcerated after all that had happened. And after me thinking about my father more and more and being more depressed, so it was this brother that I knew that went to Second Ebenezer Baptist Church. He also was one of the one. He also was a brother that fell from grace when he got incarcerated. But he been in and out of the penal system, and he said, I'm turning my life around when I go back home. I said, man, you turn your life around every time you go out in the street and you come right back. So I didn't believe him, you know. Because he was one of the brothers that came back and forth to prison. Never on nothing serious, just minor little stuff. And I didn't believe, so he kept going over to church. Every Wednesday night, I used to see him coming from church from Bible study every Sunday morning. And in prison. And I used to see people coming in from the streets, from other churches that come in, because you got congregations from the street that be like prison ministries.
Yeah.
Out of Lansing, out of Jackson, and out of Detroit, be coming up to different prisons throughout the penal system of Michigan, giving testimony to guys, and guys giving testimonies back to them as well, and helping guys find their path and their way back to the Word of God. And he kept telling me, come on over, man. Come on over, come on over, come on over. See what it's about, see what it's about. You know what I'm saying? But when I went over to the building, I felt so much at peace.
Yeah.
With the people that was coming outside to give ministry to the brothers that was inside. I felt so much at peace. And I felt so much relaxed. Now, mind you, previous to when I used to go to the Mars, when I used to hang on the yard in the corner with 30 or 40 brothers plotting and planning.
Okay.
But when I got in that building, I felt so much at peace. And it was this old lady that I was talking to that reminded me so much of my nana. And she told me, she said, you look trouble. And I said, no, I ain't trouble. She said, yeah, you look trouble. She said, but God gonna get it right. And I said, God gonna get what right? I said, and I said, had that macho mentality, you know?
Yeah.
I said, God can't get money. I said, shoot, lady. I'm just over here seeing what y'all about, because my friend wanted me to come over here. And she said, whether you know it or not, God got you over here.
Mm.
The lady was around about in her mid, if not late 80s.
Oh, wow.
And she said, I've been doing this prison ministry for years since she can remember, she said. And she said, I'm pretty much a judge, a character.
Yeah.
And she told me, she said, now you know your grandmother would not approve of what you doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her, you know. I said, what you know about my grandmother? She said, you know your grandmother wouldn't approve.
Mm-hmm.
And you ever heard the expression, people that is born into the world with veils over their eyes?
Yeah, I used to hear that, yeah.
And people's that's not born with veil over their eyes, we call it in the spiritual, in the Christian world, the yoke. When you is born into the world with your veil, that bag, your yoke over your head, and when you come out of the womb, the doctor got the so forth. And she was explaining to me that you don't know you have an angel, but you have three angels that be with you all day since you've been incarcerated.
Mm.
And she got me wondering, and she got me thinking, because now I'm laughing.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm laughing. You know, and to make a long story short, when she told me who them three angels was, I just broke down and cry.
Mm.
I had thought that my mother and my little sister and my grandmother had left me throughout them years.
Yeah. Wow.
You feel what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
It got me to thinking.
Yeah.
How can an old lady like this can even speak on someone I know, people I know that she ain't never met.
Wow.
And I made a conscious decision that night.
My God.
And I'm going to give myself to God. I mean, it's been a slow process. And, you know, I slipped time to time.
God is going to do it. I'm telling you, I'm over here in tears right now, bro. I am. I'm over in tears because the simple fact, no matter what we have done, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Out there in the world, I don't care, you know, what we've done that just was so critical, so out cold, so, you know what I'm saying, just unbearable. God loves us. And the devil has a plan, you know, for our lives. He tried to have a plan. But God, we know, is greater than him. And he has a plan for our life. And that plan stands. There's nothing that the devil can do. So when that woman of God shared that with you, she was letting you know that then. She, even though, you like you said, you did what you did out there in the past, because you want it to be bad. You know what I'm saying? But still yet, God see purpose, and he see good. Ain't that, that's just an awesome thing about God. Man will look at us and say, they need to die. You see what I'm saying? Just write us off and say we are trash, we are garbage. But God will look and say, I can turn that mess into a miracle.
Right.
And when you said what you said, that brought tears to my eyes when you said, I decided, I made a decision that night. Ain't that something that we bump our heads over and over again sometimes in life. And some things that we do, we have to pay for it. It don't mean
right.
that God didn't love us, but when we did things, we had to pay. But in the midst of our pay, God is still standing there saying, okay, I'm going to bring him out. And I'm going to change his whole way of thinking. As you said, it's a slow process. But let me tell you something. God, I really believe right now that God is going to do a quick work in you, brother, so fast. I'm serious. Remember our last talk, the last time
right.
that we talked, what did I tell you? I said, it don't matter what it looked like. I said, brother, I believe in you. I
right.
believe you are going to make it. I believe that you are going to be the man of God, seriously, that God has called you from your mama's womb. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
When you said that this woman came to you, that night was your night. That was a setup from God, I'm telling you, where we think that God don't care. I'm in this situation. God don't care about me. It's just all over. We think these thoughts, but it's not over. And look what you said happened, what the judge said, that you was left up to him. See, that's all he can say, if it was left up to him. But it still was not his choice. You get what I'm saying? You belong to God. And if God say, open that cell, he coming out, you come out. You get what I'm saying? Ain't nothing to
right.
judge. Ain't nothing the system. I don't his work and bound it up. There is nothing they can do to hold you back. And I understand and I know that you may have struggles even now. There may be habits that seem like it's hard to break. But I know that God will. I'm not going to say might because God ain't no might. He will do. When he starts something, he completes it. And so, I mean, that really touched me. When you spoke on what she said and what she saw and just the tears as it fell down your face a few moments
yeah.
ago, I could feel that. Seriously, I could feel that because of the simple fact, the reason why I said I could feel that, because I remember when I did what I did, things that I have done in my past that I have shared on the radio and I've also shared, you know, with you. My grandmother was the one, you know, I tell people I dedicate the ministry in the memory of her. Because when I was out there doing my garbage, people looked down on me. Parents looked down on me. People said I would never amount to nothing. You know, you're this and you're that and you just this. And I mean, just said things to tear me down to where I wanted to commit suicide. I thought I was no good. I even mentioned up out of my mouth that I wish my mother would have aborted me. God, why am I here? I used to say those things.
Yeah.
And that's why I did even more bad stuff, because I felt like, hey, they telling me I'm nothing. They telling me I'm no good. I might as well live it.
Man,
but look at what happened.
And for a long
God,
time,
I
thought and felt that way too.
See, that's what I'm saying. Because the enemy wants us to feel like we've done so bad that we cannot be forgiven, that we've done so bad that God would not receive us, that we're on the road of him, we're doomed, and there is no being right in us because we did so much wrong. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
I may not have done what you have done, Otis, but sin is a sin.
Yeah.
If why I came back in the time you were doing your mess and the time I was doing my mess, do you think he would say, I'm going to let Tanya slide a little bit? Because she didn't do as much as Otis, so Otis is due. No, we both would have been in hell. Am I right? Sin is sin.
Sin is sin.
That's why I was saying in the beginning, for people not to judge. Because their life may not have been like what I went through and done and what you went through and done, but sin is sin. Ain't none of us came out of the womb speaking in tongues. Ain't none of us grew up doing just perfect from the womb. Whoever say that, you will lie. Seriously.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is to say this. When I did those bad things, God used my grandmother, just like he used that woman to speak to you. He used my grandmother to speak to me. When I came from the club late, dressed half naked, smelling like liquor, smelled like I laid in an ashtray somewhere. Seriously, just didn't care. You know, doing my thing. I was not raised up like that either, but I did stuff because I wanted to. I didn't have
exactly.
to, but Tanya wanted to be dad. Tanya wanted to live that life. I didn't want no part of Christ, and I loved him, but I didn't want that part because I felt like I was too young. I got to sell oats. I got to live my life and experience what I wanted to experience, and I hit hard too, brother. I experienced a lot of pain and a lot of hurt through that stuff. And I blame no one but myself. But at the same token, because I was talked to, just like you said, grandma talked. People spoke and said, you know, this is wrong. This is that. Oh, I heard it all. But I felt like later for that. I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm grown.
Wrong,
and I'm
going to
do this. Yeah, and I hit my head big. But, and all the fellas,
I think it goes back to a lot of us when we was that young coming up. We often thought and looked at church as being not cool and boring. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a place to be if it wasn't gonna make you feel good and look cool around your friend. And growing up, when I first started getting off into what I was doing, I always looked at it as being boring and not cool, you know. Even though you was raised up in a Christian background or in the church when you was young, but when you become a certain age, whereas you can think for yourself and whereas you can have more freedom to maneuver without asking your parents and a friend, the first thing you're going to do is run.
Yeah,
and
that's
you're going to run full force with your coat running in the wind, you know. And you know, and for me, it was like that for me. Like when my mom passed, that was my coat in the wind right there, you know.
Yeah.
I can run full. I ain't got to go to church no more. I ain't got to do this. You know, I go ahead and do what it is I need to do, what I've been having for so long that I love doing. Because it had got to the point that when I was doing, I was actually, before my mom passed, I actually was concealing stuff in the house, you know. And it was like that for a long time when she passed. Like I said, she knew what I was, but I never brought it home. But she never knew the things that I kept in the house that I was holding and concealing, though. And often it's like that. Often it's like that.
Well, when you said, because I know we got 10 minutes left, and I want to have a word of prayer before you go off the air. Now, when the woman of God said that to you, and you said at that moment you wanted to change your life and everything, when you came out, once you came out on last year and you made up your mind that you're ready to give your life to Christ, and like you said, it's a process that we go through because things didn't happen for me overnight either.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? But I kept on and I kept on till something snapped. And I was like, wait a minute, you know, and I began to see things that God was doing in my life, how he was blessing me, and he was taking this habit away and taking that habit away. And before I know it, I wasn't cursing no more, and I had a filthy mouth, but I wasn't cursing no more. He took that from me. He took that smoking and took that drinking and that partying, all that life, that stuff that, you know, I was doing. Things was changing. He told me, you got to get rid of that music. That music is not rid of me. I struggled. You know, but I threw them CDs out, and God blessed me with more music than ever before that I fell in love with, and I thought gospel rap just, you know, I thought it was weak, and I got hooked on to some of that, you know, knowing that I can listen to rap in Christ, you know, it's Jesus music, you know, and it just got greater and better, and we go through stuff, you know, true enough, and we make mistakes.
I mean, when
we don't bother with it and we don't keep doing it, we get up and we keep moving.
No.
And that's the thing. So what I'm trying to wrap up here in these last minutes is this. When you decided that day, you said, after she said that and you broke down and you said, I'm making this change, how has your life been now since you've been out?
I mean,
how have you seen the Lord working in your life since you've been out? And have you found yourself to even be different than what it used to be?
I consider myself to be very blessed because when I came home, I mean, everything, when I first came home, everything was hard, everything, you know, far as cutting myself away from certain individuals. Because like I said earlier, bond is forged in prison with guys, different guys. And when you come home and you sitting down in that parole office, you're going to see them guys. And nine times out of ten, half of them guys going to be back off in the same lifestyle they were in before. They got incarcerated the first time. And I had to turn my back on a lot of them guys, a lot of people out of forced bonds within prison. And the reading me, I ain't going to say turning my back, just tell them I ain't into that no more.
Yeah.
Because when I came home, a lot of them was offering me certain stuff that I didn't need in my life no more.
Yeah.
You know? And you call yourself looking out for me, but that's no way to look out.
That's right.
And I consider myself, I mean, it's been hard because I still wake up in the middle of the night. I still sleep with a knife under my pillow. Prison habit, you know.
Yeah.
And I consider myself very blessed because most guys ain't had the opportunity that I had when I came out. Because when I came out, it was people's like my cousin Jamila and her sister, Roshan and them, you know, and her husband Ken, you know what I'm saying, my sister, all of them Christians, you know, and then it was people's like Leitrix, little female I met named Leitrix, she back off into Christianity, and it was just surrounding myself with good company.
Yeah.
People that was doing powerful things.
Got a job now.
So when I came home, I got a job. I just kept trying. And it wasn't in me to quit. Because every place I go to, when I first came home, I must have filled out about 20 applications, and I went to all of them. And I was getting turned down after application, you know? And one thing that my sister told me and friends told me and my cousin Keisha told me, that's because your foundation cracked from under you. You use the word of God as your mortar to repair that foundation to keep it from cracking from beneath you. And if you don't succeed, then you try and 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 try again until you finally do. It don't give you no reason to go out there and say, well, I done tried this. They keep turning me down. God ain't for me.
Yeah.
I'm going back and doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
And see, that's the wrong attitude and mentality to have, you know what I'm saying, to think that, because he tell you, if you shall believe in the word and follow the word and do as I do and do as I say, for those that help them, you know what I'm saying, he will help.
Yeah.
You just have to believe in yourself and in him and just keep doing. And just keep doing and doing. Nothing come easy. Nothing come easy. And see, that's our problem now. We always want it to come easy. We never put that work in ourselves, the footwork in or the elbow work in ourselves to get it there. Because we so used to having it come naturally easy to us.
That's right.
You have to refocus and regroup yourself and rethink yourself on a whole different mentality, a whole different light. You know, and you have to grow up. And Corinthians describe it best. You know what I'm saying? We're no longer children. We men's now. You know what I'm saying? We're adults now. We can't continue to do the things that got us in trouble. You have
That's
to,
true.
At some point in your life, you have to turn back to the word. You have to turn back.
Well, you know
what?
There's a lot of people that's listening in now, and they say they send their blessings to you, you know, on tonight. A lot of people are listening in all over the world. And, you know, I want to say a word of prayer right now, brother, before we get off here. I know we got like 2 minutes, so I'm going to say a quick prayer and let you have the final remarks before we go off of here. But I just want to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this day that you have made, and we have rejoiced, and we are glad in it. And, Lord, we together as the body of Christ, we just lift up our brother to you right now, your beloved son. And, Lord, we say we thank you for his life despite of the past. We thank you for his life, God, because we're speaking this even now that he will be a blessing to the body of Christ. Oh, God, I thank you for his grandmother. I thank you for his mom. I thank you for the upbringing, oh, God, that even though he was molded, even though he went in his own direction, but, God, the prayer still was surrounded around him. Your hand still was around him, even in the prison of all those years. Your hand still was around him. Your blood still was upon him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And, Lord, we thank you that everything that was done in the past, it is what it was. But, Lord, we thank you for the now. And we thank you for bringing him out, God. We thank you right now for changing his mind. And, Lord, we thank you even now that every habit, that every mindset that is not of you, Lord, we thank you that it will be changed. We are speaking that he will serve you, oh God, until the day that you call him in, God. We thank you, oh God, that each day he will see a difference in his life, a difference in his walk, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, that he is not a loser, that he is a winner, that even though he might have been banging out there in the world, Lord, but we thank you right now, Lord, that he's a part of a new set now, and that is the body of Christ. And, Lord, we thank you that he is a general in you, Lord. We thank you. And we praise you, Lord. We give you the honor and the glory, oh God, for his life and what you're doing now and what you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, keep before him, Lord. Order his steps. Speak to him in the nighttime, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And bless him with the desires of his heart. And I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against him, that it will not prosper. And, Lord, we thank you that every assignment of the enemy that wanted to kill him off and wanted him to really suffer, oh God, you said it was not so. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Any shout-outs, anything you want to say before we go off this air, because the time is up now. So, but I look forward to having you back on soon to give us, you know, an update on what's going on in your life. So is there any shout-outs or something you would like to say?
Yeah, I'd like to thank you for one for having me on the show, and I'd like to thank the listeners for being there listening, you know.
Yeah.
And since I've been working, I have received a raise within the short amount of time I've been working.
All right. Amen. God is good.
And can't wait to go to church tomorrow, you know.
That's going to be awesome.
And,
that is going to be awesome.
It's just truly been a blessing. It's just truly been a blessing. And like I said, every day it's a fight for me. Every morning I wake up, it's a struggle and a fight, you know. Because like I said, some tendencies is there. And I fight with them demons. I fight with them demons every morning I wake up throughout the day, you know, because it's just like a addiction, just like a drug addict on drug. It's just like addiction. You have to fight every day just to hold on, just not to relapse into old habits. And I thank God for the peoples that surround me, that is my rock, you know?
Yeah.
If I didn't have those peoples whispering good counsel in my ear, you know, I don't know where I'd be. I'd probably be back into the same thing that got me incarcerated all them years ago, you know? So I thank God for those brothers and sisters that always kept good counsel in my ear, you know? And still here, and I'm still fighting. Still fight.
And you know what? And you're going to make it, brother. You're going to make it. Yeah. And Kenneth said to let you know that, to tell you that he loves you.
Yeah, I love him as well.
And so I just thank God. Like I said, I look forward to you being back on with us soon, you know, to give us an update on what's going on in your life and everything.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I've been blessed by this program and, you know, by your testimony. I mean, even when we first connected, you know, I've been blessed and still is blessed because it's an encouragement to me too, you know, to my life, because I have family, you know, that's in prison and going through, and I know if God can bring you out, he'll bring them out. So, I just thank God for your life, and I just was touched, you know, tonight. And all I have to say to you, brother, is to keep on moving on in God. He's really going to bless you. And your world is going to be turned in a way, I'm telling you, because he did it for me, and I still don't believe it at times. And he's still doing a work in me, you know, and he's going to do it in you, and you're going to look back. It'll probably be the middle of this year, the end of this year, you're going to look back and say, you know what, I never thought I could be this way.
I
didn't know that my life could be this way because it's purpose for you, and that's why you out. You could have stayed in there, but it's purpose. And God know what he has in you. You can't see it, but he know. And he's going to complete the work. And you can't worry about what people, family going to think and what they saying. Let them talk and let them speak because you owe them nothing. The only person that you owe on this earth is God. That's all you owe is your praise to him and your gratefulness to him, you know, of him saving you. And like I said, things is going to change, you know. It happens and stuff. That stuff is going to leave. I went through it. But it's going to leave. Don't let that devil tell you you ain't going to make it. You can't stop doing it. Oh, you will. And you're going to have a pop. This is a powerful testimony. And you'll be able to write books or to be on talk shows. You don't know how God is going to use your testimony. Even going back to the prisons and preaching to them, I'm telling you, many lives will be saved. So I just want you to stay encouraged. And I'm here 24/7. You already know, brother, my number.
Right.
You can talk. You can call me at any time. We can talk. We can pray. Whatever. You know, we can do it. Because, like I said, I believe in you, and I believe in the God we serve that is going to do a mighty work in your life. I really believe that. So I just want to speak just blessings of overflow to you on tonight, and just know that, you know, we all love you too. You know, you got family around the world, and everybody just been blessed by this program tonight. Mm-hmm. All right then, brother. Well, God bless you.
Well, same to you, Angel.
All right then. Okay.
No, bye-bye.
Bye.